You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
This week is actually our Campus Sunday, which means we are going to talk about the next generation of leaders. We believe that the next generation is not a side issue. In fact, we are a campus church. Our battle cry is actually this, that we are to preach the gospel in every nation and in every campus. But why the campus? Because of these things. The future leaders of society are on our campuses. You want to see change in this nation? You want to see change in the community? You are to disciple the next generation. They are in the campuses. Major movements, bad or good, start on the campus. Facebook, Microsoft, all these things, giants, and even those things that are not actually good, they start in the campuses. It's not a question if they are going to do great things, but the question is, what are you bringing these people into? Majority of those who become Christians do so as students. So it's easier for us to actually preach the gospel because in that time and age, that is where you mold their character. And international students impact the nations. And when we preach the gospel to these people, they can actually go to different places, to the land that they came from, and actually become a blessing there as well. Another reason is the values on campus become the values in society. That's why it's very important that we take hold of the next generation. The most available and trainable groups of people are on our campuses. When we reach a student, we reach a family. God promised to pour out His Spirit on sons and daughters. God's idea is for each and every person in this world, every nation, every campus, to hear what He has to say and to hear the good news in itself. So in this series, we go back to the true source of our identity and purpose, which is actually God. But this person right here, Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, and he is called the weeping prophet. So Jeremiah actually lived in a time wherein he is under the King Josiah, where King Josiah is actually trying to fix things. He's getting rid of the things that actually does not honor God, idols, and he's trying to make laws so that mawala ang sinfulness of the nation up until the death of Josiah, up until their land has been exiled and all these things, bad things happen simply because of man's sinfulness. So that's where we can see Jeremiah, and he is going to encounter a lot of things. And his heart is for God, and his heart is to see people actually be changed and to know the good news that God has actually given them. Jeremiah 1, verses 4 to 10 says here, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a youth, for to all whom I send, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them. For I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." Our identities dictate the very purpose which we live by. And it is perfectly captured by Nescafe right here saying, para kanino ka bumabangon? Who do you get up for? For the parents, of course, you wake up for your spouse, your family, your next generation, your students, and we always have a reason for us to always get up. Now, it is directly connected to your identity. And sometimes we get this very purpose and these identities by the things that actually being dictated by the world. And these are the two dangers in doing so. One is external. There is what we call surveillance surfing. It's surfing the internet with the intention of getting up to date with friends and colleagues' life and activities. You want to check the stories of your friends, your classmates. That's the danger of doing so sometimes. Na parang when we get our identity and our purpose from the things, especially in this situation, the tendency is for us to compare ourselves with others. The danger is when you compare yourself with others. Now, doing these things, filtered life produces superficial and artificial relationships. you strip everything that you have, we wallow in parang regret, parang we are now going to be depressed, anxious, am I still going to be successful in the future? Another problem is when we look at things in the internal, this is what we call right here the expressive individualism. This is rampant in this generation. It simply means each person has a unique core of feeling and intuition that should unfold or be expressed if individually is to be realized or individuality is to be realized. It simply means that this is me. This is the cry of this generation. I am born this way. Believe in yourself. Be you. Do more of what makes you happy. Simply, YOLO, you only live once. When we say that we are to simply follow our heart, it seems so nice when we hear it, but the danger is that the Bible tells us that we are to never follow our hearts. The Bible tells us to always guard our hearts. Now, how you feel about the truth does not negate the degree by which the fact is true. Meaning, it doesn't matter what you feel, the truth remains to be the truth. No matter what you say that this is blue, because I feel like that's my feeling, I want it to be blue, it is still black. The truth remains to be the truth, whether you like it or not. And we cannot change that. Now, stripped of everything you have right now, what is your identity? You take away being a blogger, being a sporty person, intelligent person, what are you? That's actually answered last week. We are God's child. We are fully known, yet we are fully loved. Isn't it amazing? God loves us so much because we are God's child. Jeremiah 1:4 says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you prophet to the nations. Then I said, the Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth." Now, that being said, now that we know our purpose, we're actually God's child, what are we actually to do? What is the very purpose? A while ago, we said that our identity dictates our very purpose. Now, what is your purpose? Verse 6, "Then I said, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth." This is a common response for us. It says here, "I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth." We immediately give up an excuse. When God tells us to do something for Him, this is what we say. We have excuses. Lord, thank you, God, for saving me, God. Now I know that I am saved. But Lord, you said that you're going to use me to minister to other people. Lord, pwede next month, siguro, Lord, maybe then I'll be prepared. But for now, God, I'm not yet ready. It seems humbling to hear, right? Na parang, humble kayo siya. Feeling niya di pa siya ready. But guess what? It's the most prideful statement that you'd actually give to God. You know why? You are saying that, God, I am not ready. Lord, I am not qualified. Lord, I am just this. Lord, I can never do that. Sorry to break your bubbles, but it's never about you. You're sinful. Guess what? God is greater than your sins. We are never going to be perfect. We are never going to be enough in order for us to do things for God. But guess what? God still commands us. Whenever you feel like you're too small to take any task that God is throwing at you, then you are in the right place. Welcome to the club. It's always like that. If there's not a person that's actually said to God, "Okay, God, use me. Though I am not ready, God, use me, God." Then we are not going to actually have the leaders that we have here right now. Of course, it's true. You are not ready. You will never be. You are not worthy. You will never be. But guess what? God is always more than you. It's not about you. Our sins combined are still not enough for God's power to be deemed void. Doesn't matter what you have done 5 minutes ago. If God says that you are to do this, you can. Simply because it is about God. God's love is still greater than your worst and your dirtiest mess. Lord, use me, God. You know what? It is such a privilege to be used by God. But our pride, our sinfulness, you say follow your heart. When we follow our heart, we always get the worst things in life. John Piper says this one, "Now I realize that God is not calling most people in this room to the kind of authoritative prophetic ministry Jeremiah was to have. But I think the principle here will apply to any kind of caring service or outreach or church ministry the Lord is putting in your heart to do. There may be some who say, I do not have the experience I should, or the maturity needed, or the ability required, but sometimes our perceptions about ourselves are wrong. God sees things we don't see, and He creates things in us that we didn't know we could be. This doesn't mean that the gifts don't count. It means that when the Holy Spirit, ordinarily confirmed by the body of Christ, inclines you to serve people in a certain way, your objections need to be met with the encouraging word of God. Simply put, with the many things that you don't have, God is. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 7 says, But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am only a youth, for to all whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. It's about, Lord, here I am. God's command weighs higher than the things you are proud of, plus the things that you are ashamed of. We always fall to the two extremes of things, that sometimes we are too proud because we can do this. Okay, God, use me. And sometimes we are too condemned to say that, Lord, use me, God. But guess what? The right place to be is to humble yourself before God. Lord, here I am, God. I know that I have all these things, these baggages, but Lord, use me mightily, God. The greatest ability that we can ever have to work with and for God is our availability. It doesn't matter what ability you have right now. God simply wants your availability. It matters most that God wants you to do things for His glory than the things that you can do for Him. Verse 8, do not be afraid of them. There will always be a problem. Whether you obey God or you obey your heart, there will always be a problem. But which would you rather choose? Having a problem with the greatest hope of all, the promise that you have a greater life than what you have right now, or going to a place where you are still going to have a problem and you wallow in your fear and your anxieties and the things that you were not able to do so? Which would you rather choose? There will always be a problem. God said, do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. God did not say na, do not be afraid of them. Kaya na nimo. Guess what? Dili nimo kaya. But I can do it for you. I will be with you and I am going to deliver you. Your fear and hesitance do not negate the fact that God is present. I don't know your personal situation and the things that you're going through right now, but guess what? God knows you personally. He knows you before even you were born. He was there with you when you were doing the things that you're ashamed of right now, the things that you don't want your parents to know, you don't want your classmates to know. He was there. There is nothing kept in secret from God. He knows your every idea. He knows your every limitation and the things that you want to do, but you're trying to suppress yourself. He knows the things that you want. He knows that the things that you do not want. He knows everything. Guess what? He will always be. Verse 9, then the Lord put out His hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. We can, simply because God is with us. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying now you can do things so that you can point to yourself now, I was able to do this. Now, parang you are going to use those accomplishments that God has actually used you only so that you will be glorified. No, the glory always belongs to God. Whether we fail or we succeed, praise be to God. He is the only thing that matters. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. You know what? Life with God is not only about obeying laws and limiting yourself na, Lord, this is where I'm going to happy, but this is your will, God. Lord, should I obey you? Guess what? The place where you are going to be the most contented, the best place to be is always in the will of God. It's not separate. Your greatest joy and God's will are actually one and the same. And it is my desire, it is my heart to actually for each and every one of us here. Not only the young ones, sometimes we say na we are too young. You know what? You are never too young. You are never too old. You are never too this, too that to obey God's will. And it is my desire for you to experience for yourself how God is going to be with you in and through that process of actually changing lives. Not for yourself, not to make a name for yourself, but for God's glory. What is your purpose? As God's children, we live to do our family business. What's our family business? To love God above all else and to love others as yourself. To honor God and to simply make disciples.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.